The number of Native Americans enrolled in universities has been low for decades. According to the U.S. Department of Education, Native Americans and Alaska Natives made up just 1% of the total students enrolled in college in 2006. That's despite those numbers more than doubling since the 1970s. A new bill in Wisconsin's state legislature is looking to change that by giving in-state tuition access to any member of the nearly 600 federally recognized tribes across the country. Nick Milroy is a Democratic member of the Wisconsin Assembly. He represents the 73rd Assembly District, which includes Superior, Trigo, and Spooner. He's one of the authors of the legislation. Representative Milroy, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get to how the legislation works, let's get into the why a little bit. What led you to tackle this issue?
Well, I actually got the idea from an article that I read that was put out by the University of Illinois in Chicago, where they were planning on offering in-state tuition to any member of a federally recognized tribe. So I did some digging, and I noticed that the UW system has had good recruitment of people in color in every category except for American Indians. And over the last 10 years, we've seen quite the drop in number of American Indians that are enrolled in the UW system, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to provide an opportunity for people that might not otherwise have it.
And talk us through what exactly your legislation would do.
Well, the legislation would allow any member of a federally recognized tribe within the United States to attend any UW system campus and pay in-state tuition versus paying the out-of-state tuition. And that can be a significant amount of money for somebody coming to Wisconsin. For example, at UW-Madison, in-state tuition is about $11,000 a year, whereas the out-of-state tuition is $38,000 a year. That can be quite a barrier for people to come to Wisconsin.
Have you heard reaction from Native American communities, maybe here in the state or beyond, about this legislation?
I've reached out to some of my friends that are American Indians, and they were supportive of the bill. I think they would like to see more than just federally recognized tribes have this opportunity, but it's kind of hard to draft legislation that could encompass all of those different scenarios.
And I think it was in your press release about this, you talked about the idea that, okay, a federally recognized tribe that's in Wisconsin's borders now, that's one thing. But because many Native Americans were moved, in effect, by the federal government, that there might be a Wisconsin connection to many other tribal groups around the country.
Yeah, there is. And I think, you know, a bill like this is just a small step towards reconciliation where we live up to our history, where generations of tribal members were systematically removed from their ancestral lands. You know, those were done through acts of Congress. They were done through treaties. Many kids were forced to leave their reservations and their families. They were sent to boarding schools, sent to foster homes, and people were displaced all over the United States. So, you know, a lot of people have common ancestors that might have originally called Wisconsin home.
Talking to Nick Milroy from Wisconsin State Assembly. He's a Democrat who represents Superior, Trigo, and Spooner. Talking about legislation that he authored that would give in-state tuition access to members of federally recognized tribes around the United States. You mentioned University of Illinois, Chicago, as kind of your model and inspiration. Do you know if they've, I know this is pretty new there too, but do you know if they've started to see results there?
I don't know.
Okay. What kind of reaction have you gotten from your fellow lawmakers about the legislation?
Well, I wasn't really sure how people would take it. I was surprised with the number of co-sponsors we got. We have 27 co-sponsors on the bill, which is a lot for any piece of legislation. And we also have a strong bipartisan contingent. Nearly 20% of the co-sponsors are from the Republican Party.
And do you have a timeline on when this bill would start rolling through committees?
Well, the bill was just introduced and assigned an assembly bill number by the speaker's office. It has been referred to the Committee on colleges and universities, and I will be contacting the chair to ask for a public hearing on the bill.
And have you heard from the governor yet on this? I know that's a long way off. It still would have to go through both chambers, but have you heard any support from the governor's office yet?
I haven't, but I suspect that if this went through the legislature without much controversy, I'm sure he would be supportive of it.
I want to switch gears a little bit, and now we'll keep watching that legislation. You're in the Superior area, northern Wisconsin. You are in one of the many areas of the state that's seen high rains and big flooding over the last few years. Can you give us an update on what kind of things you're seeing up in the Superior region, Representative Milroy?
Well, yeah, we have seen a lot of very heavy rainfalls over the last decade. It's torn our infrastructure apart. We've had to apply for federal FEMA funding to repair a lot of road infrastructure. And the most recent rainstorm washed out a few roads. But unfortunately, when it doesn't do enough damage, you don't qualify for federal disaster assistance. So the current roads that are being washed out are going to have to be picked up by local taxpayers, which is unfortunate.
And I've heard one difficulty with FEMA is that often even when they do fund it, they fund a replacement of what was there already. And there's a concern that, well, wait, the stuff that was there already wasn't up to the challenge of the rains we're getting. Is that something you've been hearing about?
Yeah, it's a very complicated process to go through the FEMA funding. We definitely need our federal legislators to work on trying to streamline that process and also recognize that a lot of infrastructure that was built back in the day might not be up to the type of events that we're seeing nowadays with these what were once considered 100 or 500 year floods seem to be happening multiple times a decade.
And you mentioned that the locals are often having to pick up the tab to repair the damage. Is this something that the state is also helping out with, or is there anything in the works that might be able to help recover where FEMA isn't able to do that?
There are state emergency funds available, but they obviously don't cover 100% of the cost of these projects. And the more and more certain communities see this, it's usually in the same place. It's just an inequity in state funding and the ability for taxpayers to have similar type infrastructure as other parts of the state.
All right, we'll leave it there. Representative Milroy, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I'm talking to Representative Nick Milroy. He's a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 73rd Assembly District. That includes the areas around Superior, Trigo, and Spooner. He's with us today to talk about new bipartisan legislation he's introducing that would give in-state tuition to members of any of the nearly 600 federally recognized tribes across the country. We also checked in with him on damage related to flooding over the last couple of years in his part of the state. And I want to throw a question out to you. A lot of Wisconsin, in one way or another, has been hit by torrential rains over the last 2-3 years. Flooding risks in south central Wisconsin, only the most recent, some in northeastern Wisconsin as well. Question for you, have you been affected? Has your community been affected by flooding? Even if it hasn't been in the headlines the last few weeks, whatever stage you're in recovery, what is going on where you are? Are the roads fixed now? Are you doing things in your community to try to withstand future intense, severe rains? If you're in local government, especially love to hear from you. What kind of funding challenges are you dealing with? Have you had similar concerns with what FEMA can and can't do for your community? Here's how you can reach out to us and share your story. We might talk about it in a future episode of Central Time. You can always email ideas@WPR.org. You can send us a message via the Ideas Network Facebook page, and you can tweet us at Central Time WPR. What has flooding meant for you and your community in Wisconsin? Do you feel like you're ready for the next round of flooding? Has flooding led, as in Gaze Mills and some other communities, to moving businesses, government buildings, houses, things like that? Again, reach out to us via email, ideas@WPR.org. Send us a message on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us and maybe share a picture if you have one at Central Time WPR.